Whether we want to admit it or not, many of the pressing global issues we face in the 21st century will be helped or hindered by the actions of the world's most populated nation, China. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. A new documentary film explores the enormous scale of development and social dislocation attending China's rapid economic rise by chronicling the lives of the new inhabitants of the city of Ordos in China's Inner Mongolia region. The film took several years to make and was co-directed by Adam James Smith and Song Ting. Adam James Smith will be in El Paso next week to screen the film, and he joins us by phone today. Good morning.
Good morning, Charles.
Great to have you on the program. It's a stunning film. I should mention also that you have a co-producer on this, Wang Qihan.
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
Fantastic. The imagery in this film is truly stunning to look at, but also equally horrifying. The scale of development that's happening in this region of Inner Mongolia and the movement of farmers to this massive city that China built almost overnight. It's a fairly remote area. How did you become aware of this city to begin with?
Well, Ting and I actually discovered the city. I think it was in a Time magazine photo essay. And I think it was a series of maybe 10 to 15 photographs that really captured our imagination. You know, they depicted this, you know, how it's been described as a ghost city, you know, completely empty construction projects, a few sort of construction workers here and there carrying building materials. And it was really those images, you know, that drew us to the place. So it was sort of a, you know, a cinematic draw in a way, a visual draw. Mm-hmm. So we applied for some grants to go out there and basically have a look at the place. We weren't really looking for stories at that time or even looking to make a feature film. We kind of had a niggling idea that we might want to do something in the city. So we went out there, we visited, and it was very much like how the original news reports described it as a ghost city. You know, it was a large city that they had built in, like you said, a very, very remote region that's about 3 hours south of Baotou in Inner Mongolia, which I think is the largest city in Inner Mongolia. But other than that, there's very, very little, very few settlements around this new city.
Yeah, one of the striking things about the film is the balance you have in it between just the vastness of this metropolis that's been built in the middle of farmland, but also the intimacy of the lives of the rural farmers in the area who have either moved into the city or are being heavily marketed to by the Chinese officials to move from their farm into the city.
Right. Well, it wasn't until the following year, there was a year gap between first visiting and then our second visit. When we returned in 2012, I think it was in November or December, the city had changed quite a bit. There were actually people living there and people being moved in. Businesses had opened. The library was looking at a little bit more active in the downtown. The museum had opened. And it really changed quite a bit in that, you know, 12-month period.
Mm-hmm.
And what really struck us was, like you said, these individuals who are walking around the city looking kind of stunned against this backdrop of these enormous buildings and freeways and all of this infrastructure that they had built. And we sort of felt that there must be a human story in here somewhere. Yes, we could focus on the ghostliness and the emptiness of the city, but who are these people that were being moved in and how were they, why were they there, and what were they doing in the city? We really did want to focus on intimate individual stories in the city because we felt that so much reporting on China was about these enormous statistics and numbers, you know, giving you information about how many migrants there were moving to cities across China, the GDP figures, all of that. But it's quite rare that you actually hear of or see in film the people people, the individual people affected by these huge plans that have been implemented in China. So that became our focus. And from there, we talked to many people and then settled on the story that we now have in the film.
Given that you're making this film in China over several years, I'm wondering just how much official access you had. Did you have minders with you? Was there any resistance from the Chinese officials who run the city and are moving these farmers from their rural location into the city? Or did you just have free rein to shoot whatever you wanted there?
You know, there's a saying in documentary, and maybe it applies to other disciplines too, but it's better to ask for forgiveness rather than permission. And this is certainly the case with making a documentary in China. So we first embarked on the project, and we decided we wanted to make a film there, and we started shooting. We didn't ask for permission, either on a local level or on a national level, at the film board in Beijing. And one of the main reasons being, other than the potential that it would be rejected, is that we imagined it would probably take a really long time to get that official final permission from both sides, on the local level and the national level. So we just started filming, and Xiao Mei, who is a government official who's in our film, whose job is to persuade farmers living out in the countryside to move into the city and to negotiate a compensation package with them, and when they're in the city, to help them adapt to urban life. This character sort of became, or was becoming, one of our main characters in the film, because originally we started following several potential main characters. And when we realized that we wanted her to be one of our two main characters, Ting and I had a conversation, and we sort of, you know, agreed that we really had to get some kind of permission to continue shooting with her. So what we did was we visited it was a department in the large government building that they built in the new city, right in the center, and we visited this man at his desk, and he basically said, you know, we welcome filmmakers and academics and journalists, etc., to come to the city and write about it and film it.
Is that because they have immense pride in what they've been able to create in such a short time?
Yes, it could be. It could be. And also, because it is a very remote place, in a way they do need promotion to draw tourists to the city, or to draw potential residents from around China or even around the world. So there is that. There is the pride. There is the promotion aspect. As I said, that reaction was quite surprising to us, because many of the previous news reports about Ordus had been quite embarrassing for the city, for the government there, because they were all reporting that the city was a ghost town, it was a failure, that there was so much municipal debt, that it was an example of China's overgrown property bubble.
You know, you mentioned your film being seen as quasi-promotional for them and casting a good light on it, but one of the striking things about your film is how the marketing of this city works within China, the notion of a Chinese dream, and how quickly these farmers who are relocated, how much consumerism there is there. There's a McDonald's, there's Western-style clothing, there's cable television with 100 channels that's being touted. There's huge billboards constantly talking about the city of tomorrow and how civilized living is, often casting the previous rural life as uncivilized and unhealthy and unprogressive.
Right. Ordus is one of the first examples of what will be many new cities or new urban districts attached to existing cities in China that will be built over the next two decades.
You have a staggering figure at the end of your film that they hope to move 250 million people from rural areas into these cities in the next 20 years?
Yes, that's the figure coming out of the central government.
That's just hard to fathom.
It is, and it's I believe it's more than the urban population of U.S. that will be added to decades, which is a staggering amount of people. And one of the ideas behind this plan in Ordos and around the country, around China, is to boost domestic consumption. Farmers don't consume very much. People living in the countryside generally, to some extent, self-sufficient. You know, they grow their own food. They live off that. The electricity usage is very minimal. They don't shop as much as urban people. So one of the ideas of moving this amount of people into cities is to modernize the rural interior of China and to boost domestic consumption.
Yeah, that comes across so solidly in the film without editorializing that, but one can't watch your film and not extrapolate into the future just the enormous pressure that migration is going to make on China and its resources, but also its impact on the global environment. And really, this is where the front line is moving to as far as dealing with global issues like climate change. I know it's not a part of your film, but you show so specifically what development in China is going to do over the next few decades that we can't ignore it now. And I think that's one of the great things of your film, is that without hitting anyone over the head, you just show the human dimension, but also the economic and resource dimension of these plans. So kudos on making the film. I've been discussing the new documentary, The Land of Many Palaces, with director Adam James Smith. Smith's film depicts in beautiful and striking imagery the largely empty new city of Ordos, China, built to house millions of citizens, and documents China's efforts to move rural communities en masse to urban centers. Adam James Smith will be in El Paso to present and discuss his film next week. An initial screening will be held on Wednesday, February 18th at 4:30 p.m. in room 208 in the Physical Sciences Building on the UTEP campus. The screening is sponsored by the UTEP Humanities Program, the Liberal Arts Honors Program, and the Departments of English and History. There will be an additional screening of The Land of Many Palaces in Las Cruces on Thursday, February 19th at 7:30 p.m. on the NMSU campus in O'Donnell Hall, room 111. You can learn more about the filmmakers and watch a trailer for the film The Land of Many Palaces at thelandofmanypalaces.com. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.